In a week when Go Set a Watchman broke sales records, the book business might want to celebrate. Then again, it might not. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. Harper Lee's second novel lay unpublished for more than 50 years, and when it finally appeared, readers swooped upon the tale of Scout and Atticus Finch in print and digital forms. To learn what the numbers tell us and what they mean for the industry, we turn to Andrew Albanese, senior writer at Publishers Weekly, for his Friday visit on the program. Welcome back, Andrew.
Hey there, Chris.
Well, so the summer is now in full swing, and that means some quieter times in the publishing world, but still not so quiet in the bookstores, because there are some very exciting numbers this week.
That's right, and we'll start with our two big summer books, which are, of course, Harper Lee's Go Set a Watchman and E.L. James's Gray. You know, last week we spoke about how Watchman was off to a record-breaking start, though we didn't actually have the numbers yet. In Monday's edition and online at Publishers Weekly, you can read all about those numbers, as we finally have some, at least when it comes to print books. Go Set a Watchman has now sold over 746,000 copies in its first week on sale, according to Nielsen BookScan, which tracks sales for about 80% of the print market. That performance easily makes it number one on Publishers Weekly's bestseller list, topping Gray by E.L. James, which still sold over 87,000 copies last week. The publishers for both Watchmen and Gray report that those books have sold a total of 1.1 million copies each in their first week on sale. But Watchmen did much better when it comes to the print format. And, you know, notably, Watchmen has also provided a lift to Harper Lee's To Kill a Mockingbird. Since the publication of Watchmen was announced in February, Grand Central has reported paperback editions of To Kill a Mockingbird has sold over 36,000 copies, and two trade paperback editions from HarperCollins have sold about 62,000 copies. So the Watchmen tide is lifting all boats when it comes to Harper Lee's works. And those are pretty impressive numbers, I have to say. Booksellers will certainly be happy with that. And also on Monday, I should note that Ta-Nehisi Coates will debut at number one on the nonfiction list. And I just had a chance to read that book myself, and I can strongly recommend it. For my money, Coates is probably the best writer at work today in America. And this book is key to understanding issues of race in America. It's required reading, I think. So do check that out if you get a chance this summer.
Well, certainly the publishers couldn't have predicted how appropriate both of those books would be this particular summer. And indeed, Ta-Nehisi Coates' book is indeed welcome on that number one ranking on the nonfiction list. So impressive numbers there. But you have some more information about overall print and digital numbers and how those are shaking out and what they're telling us. Indeed, they're telling us something to be concerned about, no?
Yeah, I think so. You know, right after we spoke last week, we got the first quarter industry sales figures, and they showed that overall ebook sales were down 2.5% in the adult segment and a whopping 36.6% in the children's and YA categories. And, you know, sales of hardcover and paperback were also down. Overall, first quarter sales in children's YA category fell about 16%. So I think we can call that the John Green, Veronica Roth effect. When you don't have those big blockbusters, you're probably going to go down in a quarter. In adult books, the decline in ebooks was slightly offset by increases in paperback and in audiobooks. And sales for the entire category rose modestly, about 3.4% in the quarter. But, you know, here's the takeaways for me from these numbers. First, as we've discussed time and again on this program, the publishing business is pretty much a hits-driven business now. And we see that with the decline in YA books without the big-name authors like John Green and Veronica Roth driving sales. It can be a roller coaster. And we'll also see it with the two books that we've just discussed earlier today. If we factor out Harper Lee and E.L. James, at the end of the year, it'll be very interesting to see where sales for the publishing industry clock in for the year. But here are my bigger concerns. You know, digging deeper into the various categories, print sales are still in decline overall for fiction and nonfiction alike. And now ebook sales are declining as well. We've been talking about them flattening for a long time. Well, this is the second quarter in a row that they've actually declined somewhat. And it wasn't that long ago that ebooks were posting major growth every quarter. But now at 30% of the overall reading market, they've topped out and they are beginning to backslide. And when 100% of your growth came from your ebooks, that can be a problem. And a bigger problem, I think, is that younger readers are just not grabbing onto ebooks. And really, you know, you can understand, why would they? There's lots of free things that they can do on their phones and on their tablets. It's hard to take ebooks out of the library, and you can't buy them without your parents' credit card. So, you know, what does that all portend for the future of digital reading if we can't get young readers interested in reading on their devices? To say the least, publishers have been ambivalent about the rise of digital. You know, with you saw it in the Apple price fixing case, and with the reaction of Google, how they wanted to sort of slow down digital so that it could balance out with their print stuff. But I think that ambivalence is now costing them somewhat now. You know, how many times can E.L. James retell 50 Shades of Grey? How many more books does Harper Lee have locked away? You know, happy as we may be for those big sales, I think there's a bit of cause for concern overall for the industry that the other numbers are dropping and that ebooks are also sliding precipitously now.
Right. You know, I think you're asking just the right question, Andrew. How many more retellings of 50 Shades of Grey does E.L. James have in her? Wait, we probably don't want to know. and I think it's rather like thinking that, you know, there might be an undiscovered album by the Beatles out there. It would be great for the record business for 1 year or one season, but it certainly wouldn't save it.
Absolutely. And, you know, like, that's the problem when you become a hits-driven business like this. I think that the way you grow reading in this country is to make it more accessible for everybody. And I'm a little concerned that as accessible as it is to read on a device or on a tablet now, that especially more younger readers aren't doing that.
Right. Well, accessibility is what subscription services are about in part, making available to readers a whole range of titles. And we learned this week that an early subscription service for ebooks and Tidal has gone out of business. What do you take away from that?
Yeah, you know, our listeners might not even remember Entidal, but they were one of the first ebook subscription services to launch. This was back in 2013, and they launched as a company called eReada. Very interesting spelling there, E-R-E-A-T-A-H, eReada. So no wonder they changed that name, right? This week, we learned that the company, which changed its name to Entidal, is now shutting down. They closed for good on July 21st, and they encouraged their current users to switch their accounts over to Scribd. And Scribd is offering Entidal members a month of free service to make the switch. You know, so a few weeks ago, we talked about Scribd on this show and how they were paring back their offerings in romance. And now you have the shutdown of Entidal, and you get the feeling that those who really don't favor the subscription model are saying, you know, see, told you so, it's not viable. But, you know, I'm not among that lot. For one, Scribd was a victim of its own success when it comes to what it did with the romance books. And its model will need to change, yes. But when people are reading you out of business, that's kind of a good problem to have. It's a good thing that people really, really want to read your books. For Entidal, the problem was the opposite. Its service was too expensive. Its first app was really glitchy. And, you know, pretty much that was that. The company was never able to compete with the quality or the pricing or of services like Oyster and Scribd. So I wouldn't read too much into what this means for ebook subscriptions, except that if you want to play that game, you better be well-priced and you better have good technology, which is, of course, good advice for any business.
Well, indeed. And we'll close with a way to note the passing of E.L. Doctorow, a fine literary novelist and a very popular one as well.
Yes. Sad news. E.L. Doctorow, great novelist, author of hits like Ragtime, passed away at 84. You can read our obit on the Publishers Weekly site, and that includes a list of all the PW reviews of his works, which you can click through and read. It's really kind of a very cool way to look back at this author's brilliant career. So, you know, a bit of a slow news week now in the summer, but definitely a sad news week as we say goodbye to E.L. Doctorow, one of our very best. So, well, yeah, sad news.
Indeed. And we'll say goodbye to Andrew Albanese, but he'll be back next week on Beyond the Book. Andrew Albanese, senior writer, Publishers Weekly. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure, as always.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, beyondthebook.com. Our engineer and co-producer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.